Welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Thursday, May 8th, 2014. This is Sally Baptist speaking. Thank you for tuning in to Smart Talk Election 2014, if I can talk. Know your candidates. It's all about we the people taking back the country. The call-in number is 347-857-4364. That's 347-857-4364. Press 1 to be placed in the host queue to speak on the air. If you don't press 1, you can just listen out there and we will not bother you. We also have a chat room, but I'm not sure if it's working correctly. I did open it, but there's been some problems with the chat room, so I'm going to have to find out what's going on with that. For the first hour of the show tonight, I'm going to be going over a few issues, and then the second hour, starting at 8 o'clock, for those of you who are actively involved in Operation American Spring, May 16th, 2014, Washington, D.C., and please tune in to at 8 o'clock. We're going to have an update from the colonel, and we are getting close. We are, what is it, a week away, well, a week and a day, I guess. Technically a week and a day because it starts on the 16th, and I'm telling you, this is so important. Operation American Spring is so important to show that we are the ones who own this country. It's we the people. We are the government, not these people in D.C. who think they own everything. So that's going to be a good update at 8 o'clock. Now, I got to talk about one of the local candidates here. My current representative is Alan Grayson. No, I didn't vote for him, but that's who he is. The race for the congressional representative, we've got several different people out there on the Republican side, and there's this one candidate by the name of Jorge Bonilla. He made some comments in reference to the GOP and the Hispanic vote. And actually, hold on one second. Hold that thought. One other thing I want to get in here real quick before I go into that. Excuse me. For those of you who saw the parent that was arrested for speaking over the two-minute limit, he was talking about this reading material that was for these eighth graders, sexual material. It was really disgusting by what people were saying. I haven't seen it or read it. Anyway, the guy was hauled off in handcuffs because he spoke over the two-minute limit. This is Guilford School District in New Hampshire. Guilford School District, I went ahead and I called them today and I asked them, did you guys really arrest a parent because he spoke for more than 2 minutes? Did you really do that? And then they said, here, let me have someone give you a call back. They're probably getting flooded with calls. But if you would like to voice your opposition to a parent who spoke over 2 minutes about this disgusting filth that they wouldn't read in the meeting, the number is 603-527-9215. 603-527-9215. Call the Guilford School District in New Hampshire and tell them that you think what they did was an outrage. And that's not what freedom of speech is about. That's not the American way. This parent had a right to protest and complain about the garbage, the filth they were teaching his kids. So anyway, getting back to this other thing, I had to get that out there. This candidate, Jorge Bonilla, who is running for District 9 here in Central Florida against Alan Grayson, he made a statement. So there's a political paper here in Florida called Shark Tank, and he made some comments in it. And when I read the article, I contacted him and asked him to be a guest on the show. Let's see, his comments, the Republican Party needs to be to move towards being a party of inclusion instead of focusing on outreach. Outreach is what we do when something is far away from us, but Hispanics, like other Americans, live in our communities, their kids go to school with our kids, and we have to make an effort to connect with our policies to show people that we care. Okay, this was his statement on a Shark Tank article that was April 25th, 2014, Top GOP congressional candidate says GOP Hispanic messaging wrong. Okay, well, I sent him an invite to come on the show. It's going to give him the full show, 2 hours, to talk about the Hispanic vote issue and anything else he wanted to talk about as far as why he was running for office. I never got a response. I sent a second request, never got a response. I went sent something on his website, never got a response. And then I sent a fourth response, and he did call me, but he only spoke to me for maybe 2 minutes before all of a sudden, and then he didn't call back, so I still haven't really had a chance to speak. But I did tell him that I would share some information as to what I was concerned about on the air, and if he wanted to join me, he could. In the meantime, Shark Tank, the publication who put the article out there, asked me why was I copying them on it? Why are we receiving this? And so I responded to them, too, because I think they don't properly interview these people and they don't properly discuss it. I mean, here in Florida, we have Hispanics across the country, but we definitely have a lot of Hispanics here in Florida, legal and illegal. So the immigration may be some phase of all this, but it's more to do with the culture. And so I'm going to read some of the things I sent back to him so you can understand where I'm coming from and what I want him to answer, what I was going to talk to him about. I'm very concerned. This is a candidate who won't talk about this very critical issue. I mean, they'll go out there and say sound bites for whatever they think is going to make the GOP, you know, warm and fuzzy and happy. But when you ask them to talk about this, about what this really means, about what does it mean to be an American, and what is the role of the Hispanic in being an American, and when you want to talk about inclusion, what does this really mean? And what is the Republican Party doing? And this isn't, I mean, he's the one who's talking about the Republican Party. With me, it's across the board. It's not really just the Republican Party as to the issue with the Hispanics. I believe it's the way they're trying to divide us. So anyway, I'm going to read to you what I sent to him in my, what I called my fourth and final request. And this shouldn't take too long. Okay. And these, again, District 9 congressional candidate Jorge Bonilla. The Republican, and this is his quote, the Republican Party needs to move towards being a party of inclusion instead of focusing on outreach. His quote again, Hispanics, like other Americans, live in our communities. Their kids go to school with our kids. Again, those are his quotes. Now, I go into this thing as the fourth and final request. Please respond to this request. If you are not willing to discuss these issues in a public forum, please explain why. Voters have a right to know your position and beliefs on these very critical American issues. So on your failure to respond, it appears you do not want to voice your opinion on the record. Why? What are you afraid of? The GOP establishment? The voters? Loyal, patriotic Americans? Legal Americans? Illegal Americans / trespassers? All of the above? Who, what are you afraid of? For the record, I cannot vote for anybody that refuses to answer these questions. I cannot vote for anyone who refuses to embrace being an American. No American should be treated differently. You, the Hispanic community in America, should not be treated differently or given any special privileges because you have an Hispanic heritage. We do not treat Russians differently. We do not treat Italians differently. We do not treat Asians differently. If being a Latino is more important to you than being an American, if the individual's loyalty is to Latinos and not Americans, then this individual should find another country to embrace and pledge allegiance to. Those are strong words, but America is for Americans, regardless of where you came from. Legal immigration for those individuals who sincerely want to become Americans is a very good thing. Personally, I am fed up with self-serving politicians dividing the American people into different factions in an attempt to score votes. We need American statesmen, stateswomen, and Congress, not more self-serving politicians. And then I repeat his quotes again. The question for Jorge Bonilla and all Hispanics in America, When will you stop being Hispanics or Latinos and start being Americans? When will you embrace being Americans and be loyal to America? Are you an American or are you a Hispanic? Pick one. When will the GOP embrace the meaning of being an American? When will the GOP promote national security and legal immigration? We do know there's a relationship here. Then we go into Americans must be united as one people. The RNC, just like the DNC, are dividing the American people into every faction they can think of. I strongly encourage you to read President George Washington's farewell address, where he warns us of political parties, factions, and associations that will divide a once united people. United we stand, divided we fall. I provide the link to George Washington's farewell address. And then I copied from President George Washington's farewell address and said, please take time to read and think about this. What does it mean to be an American? And I won't read all of this. It just, the words and the things I've highlighted from President George Washington, it's so critical to what it is to be an American and what's happening to our country today. The unity of government, which constitutes you, one people, is also now dear to you. It is justly so, for the main pillar of the edifice is of your real independence, the support of your tranquility at home, your peace abroad, of your safety, of your prosperity, of that very liberty which you so highly prize. But as it is easy to foresee that from different causes and from different quarters, much pains will be taken, many artifices employed to weaken in our minds the conviction of this truth. As this is the point in your political fortress against which batteries of internal and external enemies will most constantly and actively, though often covertly and insidiously, directed, it is of infinite moment that you should properly estimate the immense value of your national union to your collective and individual happiness, that you should cherish a cordial, habitual, and immovable attachment to it, accustoming yourself to think and speak of it as of the plenum of your political safety and prosperity, watching for its preservation with jealous anxiety, whatever may suggest even suspicion that it can in any event be abandoned, and diligently frowning upon the first dawning of every attempt to alienate any proportion of our country from the rest. Frowning upon the first dawning of every attempt to alienate any portion of our country from the rest. Excuse me. That is what this is about. It is trying to divide the people. To sacred ties which now link together the various parts. For this you have in the inducement of sympathy and interest, citizen by birth or choice of a common country. That country has the right to concentrate your affections. The name of American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than an appellation of derived from local discrimination. With slight shades of difference, you have the same religion, manners, habits, and political principles. You have in common cause fought and triumphed together. The independence and liberty it possesses are the work of joint counsel and joint efforts of common danger, suffering, and success. See, we are a united people when we start, but there's going to be those who want to divide us. And then we get into the party. One of the expedients of party to acquire influence with particular districts is to misrepresent the opinions and aims of other districts. You cannot shield yourself too much against the jealousies and heartburnings which spring from the misrepresentations They tend to render alien to each other those who ought to be bound together by fraternal affection. And let's see here. All obstructions to the execution of the law, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character with the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberations and actions of the constituted authorities are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendency. Dividing us will destroy us. That is what he's saying. They serve to organize faction, to give an artificial and extraordinary force, to put in place of the delegated will of a nation, the will of a party. Often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternative triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction, rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common counsel and modified by mutual interest. The political parties divide. They create factions. However, combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends, they are likely in the course of time to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. That is where we are today, people. That is what's happening across this country with political parties and all the various factions trying to divide this country. Okay, and that's the part from President George Washington's farewell address. This is back to mine. Sad fact, I know some Hispanics hate America, i.e. the National Council of La Raza, and believe America stole the Southwest from them. These Hispanic individuals will never be Americans. They will always hate America. They will always demand that America change for them. They will always seek to divide and conquer America. They will never unite as Americans. This is the sad truth. I do not like it, but I accept this fact. It is time to accept this fact and stop playing games with the Hispanic vote. It is time to campaign as Americans. It is time to vote as Americans. If the GOP establishment refuses to campaign and vote for America, they will not exist to see the 2016 election. As an American, I will not support any anti-American party or candidate. Excuse me. We need Americans in Congress. Jorge Bonilla, you must decide, are you an American or a Hispanic? Please read this in English to your Hispanic friends. Maybe someday they too will want to be Americans. And this is the American Creed, the American's Creed. And I was going to read this tonight anyway. Excuse me. The American's Creed by William Tyler Page. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. And I ask the people out there listening, is that what you do? Is that what you think of America? I happen to believe in that very much so. Then, let's see here. I'll take one quick look as I'm going back and forth between. Okay. Let me get back there. Excuse me. Then my follow-up to him, was candidate Jorge Bonilla. Thank you for contacting me earlier today. Unfortunately, you had to end the call early and never called me back to finish our discussion. I really don't like people playing games, but if and this is what, unfortunately, I'm beginning to believe of this individual. And he's not gaining my support and isn't giving me any reason to vote for him. Excuse me. I stressed to you we must be Americans, and the GOP and all political parties must stop pandering to any group of individuals. You seem to agree, but I did not get a full answer before you had to take another call. So at this point, I still don't know where you stand. Tomorrow, which is today, tomorrow, Thursday, May 8th at 7 p.m., I will be reading my email to you on American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. I gave the link. I will talk about what it means to be an American. You are invited to call into the show to share your thoughts. Call 347-857-4364, press 1, speak on the air. I also encourage you to listen to our special guest, retired U.S. Colonel Harry Riley, at 8 p.m. The Colonel will be giving us an update on Operation American Spring that is scheduled for May 16, 2014, in Washington, D.C. Are you familiar with Operation American Spring? If yes, do you support OAS? Americans want to know where you really stand. And then, as I was sending these things out, I was copying Shark Tank because they were the ones who had the original article on this. And they asked me, why was I sending this to them? Why am I receiving this? This is what I get from the Shark Tank. And Nathan Huckabee, who also got it, said, I think we all got it because it's an issue that needs to be discussed to achieve the united American spirit. Do you believe in America being united? And then I responded to Shark Tank. It's a little bit lengthy, but this goes into, again, what does it mean to be an American? And what are we supposed to, what is this thing, this game that's going on with the Hispanic vote? I just want people to be Americans. Call me crazy. I guess I'm a racist because I want people to be Americans. But I do want people to be Americans. Okay, Shark Tank, there are several reasons why I included you on this email. I read your article. Top GOP congressional candidate says Hispanic messaging is wrong. Here's a link to your article. I provide the link. The top GOP congressional candidate in your article is Jorge Bonilla. That is what prompted the email to Jorge Bonilla. I believe Jorge Bonilla's response, or lack of, should be reported by Shark Tank. It appears that Jorge Bonilla is not willing to discuss this very critical issue in any detail. Jorge will offer sound bites to appease a few, but will not go on the record with his position on a very critical issue. Voters need to know this. America needs strong leaders in public office, not more of the political establishment. Please consider a follow-up on your original article or join me on American Statesman Blog Talk Radio and discuss it on the air. Well, as of right now, they have not offered to join on the air. I believe the statements made by Jorge Bonilla, sorry if I'm mispronouncing your last name, I don't mean to, need to be explained in much more detail than your article covered. I believe Shark Tank failed to ask some key questions about the Hispanic vote in America. These questions are from the perspective of the GOP, Hispanics, and Americans. Once again, the media, in this case Shark Tank, refuses to address the most obvious issue. A, are you an American or a Hispanic? Pick one. B, the GOP, RNC, just like the DNC, are determined to divide the people of the United States of America. Your publication never talks about the net effect of dividing the American people. Can a divided nation survive? Do you not think that this is important? Are you trying to further divide America? Are you proud to be an American, or is your Hispanic heritage more important to you and or your publication? Your publication ignores the very real fact that the United States of America will not survive if we are a divided people. That is why I shared the words of President George Washington with Jorge Bonilla, Shark Tank, and others on this email. United we stand, divided we fall. Your publication seems to care more about Hispanics than Americans or the future of America. Why should the political establishment, or, and this is number four, why should the political establishment or any part of the United States of America treat Hispanics differently from Americans? Can you answer that question? What is the purpose of your publication? Is your goal to further divide America and help destroy America? I sincerely hope that is not your goal, but as I stated in the earlier email, sad fact, I know some Hispanics hate America, i.e. National Council of La Raza, and believe America stole the Southwest from them. These Hispanic individuals will never be Americans. They will always hate America. They will always demand that America change for them. They will always seek to divide and conquer America. They will never unite as Americans. This is the sad truth. I do not like it, but I accept this fact. It is time to accept this fact and stop playing games with the Hispanic vote. Please explain, why did you, Shark Tank, not ask more questions about a divided nation? Can a divided United States survive? Why should Hispanics be treated differently? What is the difference between an American and a Hispanic in the United States of America? Please share your thoughts on these questions. I believe these are very important questions. These are questions I wanted the top GOP congressional candidate, Jorge Bonilla, to answer. I believe these are critical questions in today's divided United States of America. Number seven. I keep jumping over the numbers, but anyway, number seven. I believe being an American means you are an individual with the same rights other American. Every American should be treated the same regardless of their ethnic background. Do you agree? What does it mean to you, Shark Tank, to be an American? Do you agree with the American's Creed by William Tyler Page? Would you consider printing the American's Creed in your publication? Have you ever published the American's Creed or President George Washington's farewell address in your publication? If not, please publish this information. If yes, please publish it again. Now more than ever, Americans need to be united as one. We need to go back to being one nation under God. For the record, I am an American. I'm not a Republican, not a Democrat, not a Libertarian, not a puppet to any political establishment, not any dual nationality or ethnic heritage culture. I am an American in America. We need more Americans in America. I stated in my last email to congressional candidate Jorge Bonilla, I will be reading this communication. On the air tonight. I will include our communications as well. I have read the American's Creed on the air many times. I will read it tonight. I have read and discussed President George Washington's farewell address on the air many times. We must unite as Americans. We must not allow any political establishment, association, or faction to destroy the United States of America. Please share your thoughts. Thank you, American Sally Baptist. Now, that is what I sent to them. And for Jorge to want me to vote for him. First off, as I said, I'm an American. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian, none of that party crap. So I'm not in Florida because we don't have open primaries. We have closed primaries. I do not elect or vote for the person on the primary. But whoever it ends up, and right now, Jorge, if you don't come forward and talk about what we're talking about here, if you won't be honest about it, I can't trust you. You know, I can't trust Alan Grayson, and if it comes down to just the two of you, I won't vote for either one of you. Hopefully there'll be a no-party affiliate out there. There'll be an American running someplace out there. But I am so sick and tired of listening to the games being played by the politicians trying to pander to some group out there, and it's just not right. It's time we became Americans again. We used to be Americans. But you get that political action going out there, you get these people trying to create undue influence, and they are out there dividing us all over the place. And I'm an American. People say, well, are you a Republican? I said, no, I'm an American. What are you? Are you an American? Are you a party loyalist? And when it comes to the Hispanic, Latino community, what you believe in. If you don't believe in America, you really ought to find a country that you can embrace. And this is true for the Muslims who are trying to take over just as well. People who want to destroy this country are not Americans. I don't care where you were born or anything else. You might be Americans in some legal sense, and many of you are not. But for the, you know, you're not an American if you're out there trying to destroy this country. You're a traitor. I mean, to be an American, you can't be a communist and be an American at the same time. If you're a communist, you cannot be an American at the same time. Because Americans are about freedom and liberty, limited government, choice, the individual. We're not about the collective, common property, common core communism mentality. That's what communists are. We must get back to being Americans. And you are invited to call into the show, join the show, schedule the time. This is Pure Grassroots, American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, plain old pure grassroots discussion on the issues of the day, or what it means to be an American. No commercials, no sponsors. I don't have any money. This isn't anything to do with making money. This is all to do with getting back to constitutional values and being Americans again, to get back to what we used to be, which was the greatest country in the world. Now we're going in the other direction. We're going down. Communist China is over us. Even communist Russia is protecting their own rights compared to what we're doing, which is pretty sick. And then we're out here promoting Sharia law, or Sharia, in the United States of America, which, you want to talk about hating women? There can't be any bigger women haters, war on women, than what they have. And yet, I won't say so much on the Republican side. You can't really tell the Republicans, they don't know what they want. But I find it so interesting when the liberals are out there trying to embrace diversity, to embrace the diversity of all these different cultures. And I believe different cultures are good, but if your whole point is to invade this country and destroy it and take it down, I can't really support that. And I can't support a Muslim faith that believes in stoning women and all the other crazy, nutsy things they do to women. Women don't have any freedom in that faith. And yet we have people out there saying they have the right. There is a divide. And that's why I thought it was important to mention what President Washington said, George Washington said, about we have a common faith, a common religion. He was very much into it being that we have things in common. We believe very much of basic principles. Let me see if I can find that one specific quote of his again here. And this is where, again, we have become divided. This is, for this you have every inducement of sympathy and interest. This is number 10 if you're looking at President George Washington's farewell address. Citizen by birth or choice of a common country, that country has a right to concentrate your affections. The name of American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than any appellation derived from the local discriminations. With slight shades of difference, you have the same religion, manners, habits, and political principles. You have in a common cause fought and triumphed together. The independence and liberty you possess are the work of joint counsel and joint efforts of common dangers, suffering, and success. Think about what that means. Think about what has happened to our society today. What has happened to our country? What has happened to being Americans? And this is where I say the issue of the Muslim faith. The Muslim faith is very much different from the core faith of Americans. It is very much different. And I've said many times on the show, can you be a Muslim and an American at the same time? No, because they don't believe anything the same. How can you be an atheist and a Christian at the same time? You can't. They're the opposites. And the same is true when it comes to your national loyalty. There can be no dual nationality. We've got to get beyond that. The more we keep on supporting and promoting this division of people, the more we will go down the tubes, the faster we will go down the tubes. So we have to be united as Americans. We have got to get back to that. And, you know, I really, at times, you know, the Democrats were supposed to be the ones who fought so much for the civil rights that people weren't treated on. But when you see everything, what the Democrats are doing, they're destroying the middle class. Look at what Harry Reid has done with his 93 acres or whatever it is that he has out in Nevada. Harry Reid is despicable. He's a traitor. He's a Democrat. Well, then you have Mitch McConnell over there, too. They are destroying this country. The political parties are destroying this country, and then they want to play games with the Hispanic vote. It's despicable. It truly is despicable. And let's see here. I'll go ahead and mention the 17 and 18 are the two big paragraphs I read most frequently with reference to President George Washington, because it talks about party, it talks about association, it talks about factions, how we are divided. If we allow ourselves to be divided, we're not going to survive. It's just, and this is where we're at. That's what this Hispanic discussion was going to be about. And Jorge, if you ever decide to come on, talk about it, or go do another interview with Shark Tank and answer the question. Don't do it with me if you don't want to put it out there. And you can see I'm going to ask you the questions, because I'm asking them to you now. I was listening to Alan Grayson on a telephone town hall thing last night. Believe it or not, he actually is opposing the toll taxes, so that's one thing I'll give him credit for. But he's so bizarre, too. But he is saying what he thinks. I don't support him on 99% of what he says. Like I say, I supported him on stopping the interstate tolls. But Corey, I can't get you to answer this basic question. You went out there and said what the GOP needed to do in reference to the Hispanic vote. You didn't talk about the American vote. You talked about the Hispanic vote. When are you going to talk about the American vote? Or does that not matter to you? And this is what I want you to talk about. I cannot support you. Of course, I don't endorse anybody as far as that stuff goes, but I will not work on your campaign or support anything like that if it seems like you don't really embrace being an American and that being an American is not the most important thing. Why are you running for public office? Do you think because you're Hispanic that that somehow means you're going to get elected? Do you think I should vote for you because you're Hispanic? Because personally, I think if I voted for you because you're Hispanic, that would be a racist thing to do. I actually want to vote for an American. And I want people to be Americans. Stop allowing these political parties to divide us, which, again, is what 17 and 18 in George Washington's farewell address is about. 17, all obstructions to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character with a real design to direct, control, counteract, or all the regular deliberations and actions of the constituted authorities are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction to give an artificial and extraordinary force to put in place of the delegated will of a nation, the will of a party. Often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make public administration the mirror of ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction rather than the organ of a consistent and wholesome plans digested by common counsel and modified by mutual interest. The will of the people is going to be taken away in place of the delegated will of a nation, the will of a party. Dividing the people, all for power and money. He doesn't get into the money, but it's all about power and influence. 18. However, combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends, they are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which lifted them to unjust dominion. There could be no truer words of what we're facing today. There is no truer words. And again, candidate, you're welcome to join. Let's see here. And I really do hope that I will get an answer. Because what does it say? And I mean, you, the voter, the American voter, I don't care what your background is. If you're an American, being an American, you embrace the liberty and the choice of the individual. You believe government should be limited, that you are the individual. You have the rights. You have the right to oppose filth being taught in your school to your children. You have the right to remove people from public office when they have violated their oath of office, when these people are taking treasonous actions that are destroying this country. You have the right to a common law grand jury. Being an American is about being an individual, having the rights to choose and make your own decisions, not being kept by the powers that be, with a free phone and a free meal, free unemployment, because none of it's free. And to somehow think that those of extreme wealth should just sit back and write you a check every day, that's not being an American either. In America, you're given an opportunity to excel. Not easy for some of us. Takes a heck of a lot more work to get there, and I'm not there yet. I'm still fighting for it. But it's about personal choice, being an individual. It's not about being one of the collective. It's not about being a number. Common Core, Communism, Common, Everything in Common, Communist, Everything Owned in Common, You Have No Rights to Private Property, Communism. I don't want to be a communist. I'm an American. And when it comes to the Hispanics, I know the majority of those of Hispanic background or heritage are Americans. They don't promote this garbage going on. But there's going to be that small group, the Karl Roves out there, the and then, of course, the Harry Reids. Because both sides do it. They both play the game and try to divide us. And they don't just divide us by Hispanics. However, that's what this article was about. This was what Jorge was saying about the Hispanic vote in the GOP. So that's why I focused on it. But it's true across the board with every type of faction they can think of. When it comes to women or homosexuals, transsexuals. I mean, they come up with all these different things to divide us. They do nothing to unite us. Nothing. When was the last time you saw this president do anything to unite us? And the other, George H.W., he was no piece of, he was a piece of garbage too, as far as I'm concerned. You got to understand, this has nothing to do with political parties. As far as me, I couldn't care less about the political parties. And it has nothing to do with anyone's heritage. It's about being Americans. Are you an American? And you know what? I believe Americans are the ones who should vote. What a concept. If you can't prove you're an American, then you shouldn't be allowed to vote. And I also do not believe corporations should be allowed to buy off elections. Only those who can vote, who are legally eligible to vote, should be allowed to contribute to a campaign. Why should any other entity be able to control the vote or the outcome of an election because they have more money than those who have the vote? Our elections are so corrupt. We definitely do not have the representation of our choice. We have no representation. And in a few minutes here, we're going to get talking about the Operation American Spring. So I've got this bulletin that just came out. It's update 48. And we're all in a surge mode these last few days. Nick Santini in Maryland just provided the state leader and overpasses for America with 100 large signs, same as the background on the promo. I did announcing OAS. These are actions that are critically important in the states surrounding D.C. They represent millions of patriots that are within daily driving distance of D.C., of the D.C. Mall, Virginia, North Carolina, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey, and are more ripe with potential supporters of OAS, constitutional restoration approach. My heart tells me that many patriots have gone above and beyond, and it's because of the love we all have for our nation, our Constitution, our way of life. We cannot allow lawlessness to continue. It must be challenged and stopped. God bless all for the gigantic effort as we close in on a historic sacrificial effort. And I tell you, I think that's so true. Like I say, in just a few minutes here, in about 10 minutes, we're going to have the Colonel on, and he's going to give us the update. We are talking a week and a day, May 16th. D.C. church service, OAS Pastor Sylvester Bland will conduct a church service on Sunday, May 18th, 10 a.m. on the steps, the Kennedy Lincoln Memorial. He would like to have one person from each state to participate as a praise chorus. Please contact Pastor Bland in his email. And that's to contact Pastor Bland. His email is theunitedsaintsofamerica.us@gmail.com. theunitedsaintsofamerica.us @gmail.com, or the cell phone is 951-906-8524. That's 951-906-8524. Mr. David Manning has announced a call of fasting, and prayer beginning at 600 hours until 1800 hours, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., on May 16, 2014. He asks everyone to seek God's blessing on Operation American Spring and for a nation of repentance. Operation Flood Congress, OFC. I talked a little bit about this earlier. OAS, May 16th, is the beginning of Patriot Boots on the Ground in D.C. to call for accountability from lawless leadership. OFC must also be the beginning. OFC must also be the beginning and continuing as OAS on the ground will continue. What is Operation Flood Congress? Beginning May 15th, every patriot in America that stands behind OAS, loves freedom, liberty, holds our Constitution as the law of the land, begins calling, faxing Congress. Tell them OAS is coming and demanding actions on OAS Declaration of Revision, demands and grievances, and the articles of impeachment for each member of Congress has received. Find your senators at www.senate.gov and your representatives at www.house.gov. Call using 202-224-2131. And that's 202-224-2131, 866-272-6622 for the Capital Operator. That's 866-272-6622. And then ask them for the office you want. We need a team of OAS PFA to manage OFC post OAS sites with information. Keep it current. Provide feedback. Get the information on social media. And if possible, create a massive phone calling initiative that will overwhelm and close the Capitol switchboard. Well, I can guarantee you, I will be making lots of phone calls. And I will be faxing, and I'm going to be sending stuff on their email sites. Who will lead, co-lead, be a team member for this effort? One gigantic push on May 15th and forward. Contact me at, and that's hmriley@cox.net, hmriley@cox.net. In the meantime, go to www.oas2014.com and take action again and again. And then it talks a little bit about the opposition. You know, understanding there's always going to be opposition. OAS, maybe OAS is not the cure-all for the crisis in America. We have never said it was, but it's a beginning to constitutional restoration. Opposition to the goal of OAS is pure hate, distraction, divisive behavior, and fear-mongering from the status quo leaderships and their minions because OAS is interfering with their evil momentum of driving America into servitude. And again, how does this all tie into everything else I was talking about? It's because they keep dividing us. They want to do what they can to divide us where we are no longer a united people. We are so divided right now. And that's why, in reference to the Hispanic issue, we have got to be united as Americans. At what point do we all become Americans? Because if we're going to continue to divide ourselves like the GOP wants to, like the DNC wants to, we're not going to survive. I mean, it's a simple expression, united we stand, divided we fall, but it's very true. It is very, very true. And you know, any candidate out there, the GOP party, the Republican Party of Florida, whoever, if you want to come out here and talk to me and talk about what I was just saying, what I've been saying for the most of this first hour, the Hispanic vote, please feel free to. I want you to explain to me why a Hispanic should be treated different than an American in America. What is it? What is an American and what is a Hispanic in the United States of America? Why are there two different things? Will Hispanics ever want to be Americans? I believe most do want to be Americans, and I believe most are Americans. But you've got this group out there, and truly the La Raza people, they hate America. They think we stole the Southwest. You've got the two brothers in Texas. One's a mayor and one's a congressional representative. They've openly said they hate the Alamo. These are not people who want to be Americans. And yet they're in public office to manipulate and take back to destroy this country and take it away from the true American values. That's the way it is. And I really don't care where you came from. If you believe in the Constitution and believe in the core values of what this country is made of, what it was founded on, and you truly want to be an American. But for the rest of you, go someplace else. Go wherever it is that you can embrace what you believe. Don't try to destroy this country. I believe, especially with everything going on with the Bundys and everything else, I believe many Americans are waking up and are ready to defend this country, much more than they were a couple years ago. I truly believe that. Well, we are coming up on the second hour, and I see our two other hosts, Sherry Smart and Neil Rice, have joined me. And so I'm going to give them just a couple of minutes here. Welcome, Sherry and Neil. How are you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Hi, Shelley.
I know Neil's had a real busy day today.
Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah. I was just listening to Sally, and Sally, you need to have your listeners, what you were referring to, all being Americans not being treated the way they should and so forth and are supposed to, because tell them to look up the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
And this grants to people that are born or natural citizens here of the United States, and it forbids anything from denying a person life, liberty, or property without due process, and to all be treated equally under equal
exactly.
protection. And we're not getting that under the 14th Amendment anymore.
Exactly the truth. And then
there's
the
a lot we're
parties.
Not getting anymore.
Isn't that the truth?
And yeah, how we're pretty much a little lawless nation.
We are. So anyway, that pretty much, I'm going to wrap up my first hour here with on that note, but I did go into the American's Creed, and I am asking congressional candidate Jorge Bonilla, who's running for District 9, against good old Alan Grayson. Yeah, right. And let's, you know, have him tell me, why should Hispanics be treated differently in America? Are you a Hispanic or are you an American? Pick one. I want us to go for being Americans. I think it's a pretty simple question, but right now he's dodging it. And I see
I totally agree.
The colonel has arrived also. So, Sherry,
okay.
Go ahead and take over.
Well, thank you so much, Sally. This is Sherry Smart with Smart Talk and my co-host, Neil Rice. And we have a guest here, Colonel Riley, who is with the heading up OAS. He's going to give us an update. And welcome to the show, Colonel Riley. We have 15 minutes with you, and then we have another guest coming on. So welcome, Colonel Riley, and can you give us an update on what's going on with OAS?
Hi, Sherry. Pleased to be with you, and thank you for giving us an opportunity to share our what we believe is a honorable mission, and we believe that it's the wind of God is behind it. We're grassroots, and we're moving. Things are surging right at the present time. We're getting an awful lot of attention on Twitter and Facebook. We're looking for millions of people in D.C. beginning next week. The efforts are strong. We have no reason to look to anything except a successful mission up there. And basically, what we're trying to do is create a groundswell of patriots in a nonviolent, peaceful, law-abiding, unarmed group. And basically,
well, you've got a lot of luminaries there. You've got Reverend Manning. There's a lot of people showing up and talking. What's interesting to me, though, is wherever I look, I'm not hearing anything from the mainstream media or even the so-called conservative talking heads on radio.
No, I think the reason is because what we're doing is threatening them. Really, I mean, we're talking about constitutional restoration, and every one of them basically are happy with the lawless conditions that are going on in D.C. right now.
Well, and I think, you know, it's amazing, though. It's popping up everywhere. I'm not sure if you're aware of what happened in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, where the citizens got really upset with the city commission and basically took over, and they wanted to arrest the chief of police. And he turned tail and ran along with a couple of other commissioners. I went to go view that today on YouTube, and it was all taken down.
Yeah. Well, that's encouraging. And also,
praise
the
God.
Event that's, yeah, the event that's in Nevada is another encouraging sign.
Yes,
that
sir.
The thugs from the BLM, from the government, decided they wanted to bring their weapons to dealing with a family. And basically, America rose up and said, wait a minute, we don't work that way in the United States of America. You don't do that. You don't threaten people with guns to deal with a civil, I guess. I'm not sure what the issue is, but no matter what the issue is, it doesn't work that way. So they went, our people, we the people, stood up against the thugs in Nevada, and they backed down.
Well, and I'm sure you're aware of the gentleman that went to a meeting with his school, and he was arrested because he was concerned about the material that his daughter was reading in school, and he spoke for more than 2 minutes, and they arrested him.
He went over
yeah,
his 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, this is why OAS. I mean, everything you can think of from the top to the bottom is out of control. We're in chaos. We no longer have a lawful government. The Constitution is ignored, and all the people in D.C. Violate their oath. Like I was going to say, we no longer have three equal branches of government. The Congress has given Obama, you know, he does whatever he wants to, but see, the one thing he don't realize is he may have a pen and a phone, but my Declaration of Independence and Constitution trumps his pen. And one day he's going to come to realize that when we throw him out on his ear. He's an arrogant threat to the greatest threat we've had in the history of the United States, because we've been able to handle foreign issues, but when it's this cancer that's occurring internally, it's so subtle, and it's been coming on us, this darkness, for several decades. And, you know, lawless self-servers that are in control of the government, they're tightening their grip. You know, they're reining in our freedom and pushing us towards servitude. And it's
meanwhile,
just a matter of time.
The EPA is watching pornography and being paid over $100,000 a year to spend 6 hours a day on the computer watching pornography, and we're paying for that. We're paying for that. And we've got, I mean, it's amazing to me what's going on, and the American people are just sitting back, not saying anything. If you in the private sector, we would be fired. We would not have a job.
No, let me break in real quick. That's like Boehner, though. I sent you over material today. He is doing backroom deals. Backroom deals.
What a shock.
On gun control.
What a shock.
Mm-hmm.
And he got reelected, or he just passed the thing. I mean, totally disgusting. I don't know if you're aware of that act that they did in, what was it, Sherry, 1961, Kennedy, on disarming America?
Yes.
There's an actual document out there, and every president has abided on it since Kennedy.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, all of these things have creeped up on us, and it's been so subtle that, you know, it really hasn't gotten a rise out of the American people. But the exponential criminal acts and over the last 5 or 6 years under the Obama administration, it's in our face every day. It's just beyond belief, and, you know, that's why we're calling for the resignation, the removal or replacement or something of all of the key leaders in Washington, Obama, Biden, Reid, McConnell, Boehner, Pelosi, and Holder. The only way we can really start getting this thing sorted out in our nation is if we get rid of some of these key crooks up there and try to find men of principle, women of principle that will abide by the Constitution, believe in the Constitution, believe in the Declaration of Independence, and believe in the Creator where our rights come from. They don't come from men who make laws. They come from our Creator, and that's the problem. We have to reverse the power structure in America. Right now, the power structure belongs to the politicians, and that's not the way the founders made it. The power is supposed to be with we the people, and we need to restore that and bring the politicians into check every 2 years. And maybe
Colonel
we're doing that.
The thing that you said that really has to hit home is we only need a handful of individuals with a spine and a backbone that will stand up. We need a prosecutor that is willing to stand up. We need a judge that is willing to stand up. I've been hearing that the CIA has known that the person that is sitting in the position of president is not legitimate. They've known it when he was a senator.
Yep.
So we, you know, and I keep looking around thinking, okay, everyone in Washington knows. They all know. It's not a secret there. But yet we can't find a handful of people that have integrity and morals that are willing to stand up and handle this.
That's exactly why we say that we've got a total lawless condition in Washington, D.C., and in the nation now, because states don't know what law will be in effect today or tomorrow or the next day, because the feds just change it whenever they want to.
Well, that's
or create a new condition.
Right there. The state should say, you know, feds, I take Trump. I hold all the cards. I'm going for state sovereignty. I mean, it's a simple solution for the states. Just do not abide. Do not comply.
Yeah, but our representatives in Florida are too busy being just as lawless.
Well,
they
that's what I'm saying,
did it the
you
last
know, that we need
years.
A handful of people that are willing to stand up. Yeah.
We would love to see about 218 or 20 in the House of Representatives when we get up there for them to rise up out of their seats and come down and join us and say, we have been violating our oath, we have been violating the Constitution, we have not been doing our job, we're going to go back and we're going to reverse ourselves and we're going to fight to restore constitutional law in our nation. If we get more than the majority in the House of Representatives that will commit to that will lay their, basically take a blood oath to that, then we may have an opportunity to begin constitutional restoration. But until we get rid of these...
All the things that I keep hearing, the scuttlebutt and everything behind the scenes, the people that know, that want to take a stand, are terrified. They're terrified,
mm-hmm.
and that's going from the media, the news media, all the way up, and that everyone's afraid. But perhaps with what you're doing, with enough focus there, enough energy, those people will then band together and get strength from one another to take a stand. It seems that we have a vacuum of leadership, and there's no one person that these folks are willing to get behind and say, yes, I will stand with you. I will take a stand for what's right.
Well, they're all, you know, there may be Republicans and Democrats, but basically it's an incestuous relationship in the Congress where they all service one another. They really are not that far apart, and they just want to stay there.
Class. Yes,
yeah,
it's a political class.
They just want to stay there and keep their nose in the trough and force us to keep funding through tax dollars. Boehner is supposed to be the loyal opposition. He's supposed to be the one that stands up and says, no, the Constitution says this. But he's so weak-kneed that he cannot do anything. I'm just amazed that you know, some of those people like the Trey Gowdy's and others haven't just demanded from him and basically thrown him out physically right out of the Capitol. He's a disgrace.
Oh, yes.
Well, Trey Gowdy, bless his heart, is pretty tough, and I'm hoping he can persevere and get some traction pretty soon with some folks.
One thing I'd like to make note here really quickly, when this new session in Congress started, they all stood up and they read from the Constitution. And I have the video that I sent out all over showing that when they got to Article 4, Section 4, they deleted it. Is that sweet?
Well, yeah, they're afraid, scared to death of the Constitution.
Well, that portion said that the government guarantees every state in the union a republic form of government, and they skipped right over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing. We need the states to band together. You know, individual states trying to do things like Arizona, Alabama, Carolinas, you know, with the ID cards and stopping the immigration in Arizona. You know, the feds come down on them, slam them when they're trying to take care of their people, and then they find a judge that says, yep, Arizona, you can't do that. So individual states, they're holding them. But if those states would band together, you know, get about 20 states at least, and just tell the feds, you know what, we don't even want you in our states. Stay out.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's got to take that.
Yep.
So how's that going? I understand that you guys are working 24/7, that your staff is exhausted, but excited as well. And so how's the process going?
Well, you know, we are working pretty hard, but we it's a grassroots effort, and through radio talk shows like yours and many others over the last 5 months, we've gotten around to America, and I think you're going to see a groundswell of patriots that just totally overwhelm Washington, D.C. beginning next week. And it's not going to stop with one day. It's going to be on and on. We're going to carry on for as long as we can maintain a flow in there, and we do have a plan for that to keep people flowing in there over days, weeks, whatever it is we can do in order to make to get a resolution. We've got packets in the Congress, both of demands and grievances and articles of impeachment that have been prepared by a constitutional attorney. So every one of them, all 535, have a copy of that packet, which also talks a little bit about American Spring. So we're expecting them to pay attention. We're sending them electronic copies every day again, and we're going to start a telephone attack, if you will, on the 15th, to let them know that tomorrow they can look out their window and they're going to see a mountain, a mass, a gigantic group of patriots that are going to be in their hair until they make a decision and start on the right track.
Now, we only have one more minute left with you. What can we do that are behind, that are not going to be physically in Washington, D.C.? What can those people at home do to support OAS?
Well, they need to go to our website, OAS2014, that's Operational American Spring Initials, OAS2014.com. Look on there, look up at the blog, you can click and take the action that needs to be taken. They can call Congress, they can call every day. There's toll-free numbers that we've already put out where they can just shut the switchboards down. Tell their neighbors about it, and then, if possible, for some of them to decide to come in later that can't be there on the 16th and 17th. We need prayer. We have prayer going on 24/7. We have a prayer warriors group. There's 200 on Patriots for America ning.com. There's a schedule where there is prayer every hour of every day. And we do believe God's wind is behind this, that we're under his wing. If it wasn't, this little group, grassroots group with no pull from above as far as the humans go, no corporations, no donation button, nothing. It's just patriots making sacrificial efforts to get to Washington, D.C. because they fear for their children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren and don't want to see them end up in the USSA, which is the ugly socialist states of America. We can't have that. We can't allow that.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, and I believe we're having another one of your people on next Thursday as well to remind everybody, and God bless you and Godspeed.
Yes.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you.
Thank
we
you
appreciate
so much.
It. God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Our next guest is Jerry Ruckhart. He's in Pennsylvania. Is he there, Sally?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And Jerry,
hi.
Welcome to the show, Jerry. Jerry's with the militia, and I know a lot of people probably are thinking, what the heck is the militia? And so he's going to tell us all about what a militia is, but it's not a scary thing. But it's actually a constitutional thing and what he is doing. And I believe, Jerry, you guys had a very pivotal role of what was going on at the Bundy Ranch.
Yes. Operation Mutual Aid was the ones that made initial contact with the Bundys and asked them if they need help. So I guess you could call that pivotal, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Without you, I think the Bundys, it might have been a very different story for them.
Unfortunately, yes, it could have been.
Absolutely. Do you want to tell people a little bit about the militia and what militia you're involved with, the different types of militia?
The group that we started is called Operation Mutual Aid. It's basically just a group of men and a few women that have decided the time has come to do the duty that was laid out in the Second Amendment. Maybe what I ought to do is I ought to go through the Second Amendment and explain what it meant back in the day it was written. There may
That's
be some
perfect.
Listeners that do not That's understand it.
That's perfect. Please do.
Okay. It starts with a well-regulated militia. And, you know, many people hear the word regulated today, and they think regulated means government controlled. Back in the day that was written, that is not what regulated meant. Regulated meant well-armed and well-trained. Then it goes into being necessary to the security of a free state. Now, I think that's pretty self-explanatory, that it's the militia's duty to ensure freedom. And then it closes with, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now notice that the people and the militia in the beginning are synonymous. The militia is none other than the people. Our founders gave us the right in the founding documents to remove consent for our leadership to lead us at any time we want to. And if we remove consent and the individuals refuse for whatever reason to give up their positions of power, then it falls on the state's militias to remove them by force if that is what is needed. Does that clarify things a little for you on the Second Amendment?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
And I think it takes a tremendous amount of guts and courage for people to do that in this day and hour.
Well, there's no question that it's not something any of us would really like to do. It's a matter of we have to. I think anybody that is paying attention can see that the ballot box is pretty well dead. The time for rally, protest, and redress is nearly gone. They just don't care. They have become so arrogant and so in a mind frame or a mindset where they just, what we say doesn't matter anymore. Essentially, they are controlled by people other than their constituents is what it boils down to.
And it's very apparent, don't you think? It's really obvious.
Yes. Yes, yeah. It is.
Where everywhere you turn, you see that we are being attacked and castigated for either religious beliefs or parental rights or you name it. And it seems like the American, you know, your everyday Joe is under attack.
Yes.
And Neil has done a lot of research and study along with a lot of other people in the state of Florida. And it's amazing the duplicity that's been going on. And if it's up to our eyebrows in the state of Florida, how corrupt everything is. And I imagine we're not unique.
No.
No, you're certainly not.
One thing, as far as the Second Amendment goes, anyone that can read and understand English, it's very simply put.
Right.
You don't have to be a top scientist to figure this one out. And for our representatives, senators, whether it's whatever level of government it is, it makes them look even more incompetent, corrupt, and everything else when they do not understand the word infringe. There should never be a gun bill brought up of any kind.
Yep, the deceit and duplicity out there is incredible, and it's amazing how many people fall into the trap. And all they have to do is look at the statistics. All they have to do is take a page out of the news in Chicago and see what the crime is in Chicago, and that they know they have the toughest gun laws anywhere. And it's not stopping what they think it's going to stop. It's just helping the little criminals out there get a better hold on it. So, Jerry, now, did you actually go out to the Bundys to help out with the militia, or were you controlling it, or not controlling it, but contributing to it from a distance?
Yeah, I was contributing here from Pennsylvania. I was in a serious auto accident back in October, broke both my legs, and I didn't have any driver's license, and I was in no shape to go out there.
Wow.
But I did what I could from the computer here as far as logistics and organizational.
And how are you doing now, Jerry?
You say, how am I doing now?
Yes, sir.
I'm walking and back to work, so things
Great.
Are looking up.
Okay.
Oh, good.
That's important.
What about you?
Was it frustrating at any level, or... You know, we've heard so many rumors, and I know everybody that's listening has heard the rumors as well.
You know, any time that you strike fear into the enemy is going to lash out with attacks. And we knew that was going to come. That wasn't really a surprise. We had a situation about a year ago in West Virginia where a young man wore a T-shirt to school. It had a picture of an AR-15 with NRA on it somewhere, and then underneath it said, protecting my rights. And his teacher told him he had to remove it. And he basically said, I don't think so. Well, to make a long story short, they brought the police in, and they arrested him, and he was
arrested
charged
for wearing cotton
Yeah.
Pretty much, honestly.
Yep. So to make a long story short, there was somebody in West Virginia that requested we come and help them remove the individuals responsible for the violation of his rights. And over that situation, we were accused of being FBI informants and all kinds of things. So, you know, we knew it was coming. This one lasted longer than that one did. Therefore, there was a chance for them to put a lot more of that stuff out. So that's another thing that I would kind of like to touch on is until we learn not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, we are never going to be able to unite and be successful. All too often, any group is formed, and somehow somebody works their way up through the leadership chain, and they're there to be a provocateur.
Yes.
That is their purpose.
Yes.
And they end up destroying the whole organization.
Yep.
We have got to learn to be smart enough not to let the organization die, but to simply flank the provocateur, let him behind, flank the provocateur or provocateurs, and reform in the flank. Unfortunately, that's not how it usually goes. The whole group just fades away.
You're absolutely right. I continue to see that where I live, that the tip of the waves are constantly cut off, so nothing can – the moment something starts to formulate, there's someone there, like you said, a provocateur, who infiltrates the group and continually cuts off the top of the waves, so nothing ever happens. It's amazing. And you watch it time and time again.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
So part of it is identifying the provocateur and then doing what with the ranks, doing what with the rest of the group?
Well, basically all you want to do, if we're ever going to actually unite and be successful, we cannot continue to allow these people to cause the breakdown of all these groups it took so long to build.
Right.
Basically, what you have to do is you have to identify the provocateurs,
mm-hmm.
and you, like I said, you just take your group and you move away from them. You remove them from the leaders of the leadership positions. Before your group decides to leave one by one and the group falls apart.
And that does happen time and time again.
Absolutely, absolutely. So there's a lot of things, you know, that you need to take into consideration in the big picture.
And how are you feeling about the direction the nation is headed, Gary? Do you guys talk, you know, amongst the militia? What are your feelings? Are you thinking that we have any, you know, that have we exhausted everything we can do?
I can't speak for any other militias, but
right.
This is just a personal perspective. I believe there is only one option left, and that is to take people by force, if that's what it comes to. We need to stand up and insist they resign, and if they refuse to do so, then we ask the state's militias to do their duty.
And wouldn't you think that with as many people that know about this in Washington, that those factions that understand it, you know, I just find it incomprehensible that at this day and time, this is the biggest fraud in 200 years. And the whole world is watching it unfold. The entire world knows it's a fraud. But yet we have people here that still are, Neil and I were talking about it. It's so frustrating. We can't believe they still believe this thing.
Yeah. It's quite evident. I mean, anybody that, it's not hard to see, put it that way.
Well, it's embarrassing because the entire globe knows. I know I was watching a YouTube, and it was with Lord Monckton and another British gentleman. They were all talking about the evidence that's there, and they're saying that the CIA has known since he was a senator. And mm-hmm. they're all talking about it, and they're all talking about all the evidence they've seen, and they can't believe that America's doing absolutely nothing.
Right.
So the entire globe is watching. They're all talking about it and waiting for what is America going to do. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate. It just seems
right.
that...
Well, hopefully the media will get out there and cover this Operation American Spring and let some of the rest of the world see that we have had enough.
Well... I guess you didn't read that email.
I don't know which one.
Yeah, never mind. We'll talk about it out there. But anyway, let's talk about the militia. Okay, so back to what you guys are doing. Are you in contact with the militia nationwide or just in your area?
Oh, no, I have. I talk to militia, people in the militia from probably at least 45 out of 45 states, I'm going to guess for sure.
Okay.
Now, some of those contacts are just individuals or, you know, one person and a friend. You know, they're not all huge units, is my point.
Right.
But, yes, we have contacts in, for sure, the vast majority of states.
Now, the brouhaha that went on at the Bundy Ranch, I mean, you know, you hear rumors all over the place about that there was a gentleman that, I guess his name was Buddha, who was proclaiming himself Bundy's bodyguard, and from what I understand, he was really kind of a provocateur, trying to break out fights and get dissension amongst the ranks. Did you witness or hear about any of that?
No, see, I didn't. I mean, I saw some of the same rumors that you saw flying around,
okay,
but I did not get any confirmation of that from what I would call the Bundy Ranch.
Okay.
You know, that's where, in other words, I didn't post anything that didn't come from Bundy Ranch.
Right.
If
and
I
how
didn't
was your
get
communication?
It,
was it pretty good there or not?
No, that's one thing we really need to work on is communications.
I think that's true with everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is very difficult.
It's so easy to get on the internet and send an email and get on a text message and make phone calls and do all the other stuff, and then you realize, oh my gosh, there's still this huge gap of knowledge because we're not all always on the same page. It's very difficult sometimes.
Right.
And I can only imagine a logistic nightmare you had being where you are and then trying to deal with Nevada time.
Yeah, well, for about a week, I had a grand total of about 6 hours of sleep.
Wow.
I couldn't begin to tell you how many people I've talked to, but in 2 weeks, I'm sure it had to be close to 1,000 phone calls. There was one stretch there in 6 hours, I took 140 calls.
Whoa.
So it was pretty intense.
Yeah, I can just imagine. Must have been really rough. So what projects are you moving on now, and how are you getting people to join the militia, and do you need more people to join? And I mean, how do you get your word out for help and assistance and growing?
Well, we do have a page which we issue alerts from, alerts and updates. And anybody that's interested can find that very easily by Googling Operation Mutual Aid. That's all one word, no spaces. Don't add anything in front of or behind it. That'll just mess up the search. It should be the top choice when you press search.
Operation what?
Mutual, M-U-T-U-A-L.
Okay, Operation Mutual Aid.
Aid, A-I-D.
Okay, got it. All right. So all they have to do is plug that in, and then they can be directed to where they need to go.
Yeah, they can read our mission statement, and they can see the, you know, see the various people that are on the page.
And how long have you been involved with the militia? What got you involved? What made you decide that?
Ryan and I met about, I guess it's just about 3 years ago. And we both agreed that the state's militias have been very, very negligent in their responsibilities as laid out in the founding documents to defend the people from tyranny.
Okay.
And we also both agreed that the reason that was the case was because there were not enough men in any town or any county or maybe not even in any state that were ready, willing, and able to actually take a stand in defiance, an armed stand in defiance of tyranny. So we decided the only way that we could make this work was basically to unify five or six from each state and, you know, get them to basically vow to support their brothers in other parts of the country if and when the time came.
Well, you guys did an outstanding job for the Bundys, that's for sure.
Well, we had a lot of help. We didn't do that alone. You know, like I said, we were the first ones to call and ask them if they needed help. But then when they said yes, then I posted it on my Facebook page that we were going to Bundy Ranch in Nevada, and we had lots and lots of people call that really had no affiliation with OMA previously.
I even saw one response from a gentleman from Peru who had bought an airline ticket and was ready to come in. And that was just amazing to me that people were coming from that far away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To the Bundy Ranch.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I did get a note from a, I forget his name, but he's active duty Army, and I actually posted this on my Facebook page. I asked him if I could post it, if I took his name off, and he said, oh, no, he said, you can post it with my name. But he wrote me a note in my email and basically said, you know, it's high time somebody does something, you know, don't back down, you know.
Yeah.
So That was nice to get that from an active duty military guy.
Now, what did you think about the Oath Keepers that were out there? We've heard conflicting reports about what went on with them. And
I don't even want to comment on that because I wasn't there.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you know.
I heard Neil just chuckle in the background because those rumors are flying around as well, the different stories that are going on.
Yeah.
And I think the head of Oath Keepers made an announcement today saying he was clarifying some things. But, yeah, it seems that there were some disappointments along the way.
Yeah, well, the only thing that I will comment on that I will say this. If you are going in to stand between the people and tyranny, and you allow the federal government to cause you to retreat based on a threat, then it's pointless to go in the first place.
That's true.
If you can't carry out the mission, then don't waste your time going. We make that very clear to everybody that joins our group. We are not going there to play games.
Now,
right?
Is there, when you're with the militia or you join a militia, do you take an oath, or is there a standards of behavior or protocol? I mean, is this, do they understand what's, by that I mean, is there like a little notebook and they all understand this is a chain of command and this is what your responsibilities are, that sort of thing?
Yeah, there is. You're what I'm going to call organized militia. Now, I hesitate to use that word because that gets into a pretty confusing area as to what organized and unorganized is.
Right.
But when I speak of organized, what I mean by organized is a cohesive unit. In other words, these guys might all live in a county, and they have a commanding officer, and they might have two captains and maybe two sergeants, you know, 25 guys. They have a command structure. They no doubt have requirements, what each member needs to be able to supply as far as weapons, ammunition, that type thing. OMA, at this point in time, now it'll probably come in time. At this point in time, OMA does not have those standards, so to speak.
Okay.
We're largely just a group of about 80 to 90% of our membership are just what I would call lone wolves. They're not affiliated with any units. They're just individuals that see a problem and they're willing to stand up and do what needs to be done.
Well, that's refreshing to know that there are still people out there willing to do that.
Yes, well, it's high time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time is short.
Past
time.
Time
is short.
Right, right, exactly. It's past time. Neil, did you have any questions?
No, not really. He pretty well covered everything, I believe.
Sally?
One thing that we have in our state, and I'd kind of like him to look into where he's at, though, is our sheriffs in our state come under the judicial system. That is wrong. They are an executive. They should be under the executive branch. That's where you get a lot of corruption from as far as the sheriffs.
Which state are you in?
Florida.
Oh, Florida. Okay.
Yeah.
And
some states are eliminating the sheriffs.
Yeah, that's not good.
Miami-Dade, you can't even vote for a sheriff anymore in Florida.
The sheriffs are really the people's, they're supposed to be the people's last line of defense.
Right.
Before the militia. Okay? If the sheriffs would be doing their jobs, there would be no need for militia action. The sheriff could have taken care of that problem in Nevada.
Oh, absolutely. But he tucked his tail between his legs and ran to Harry Reid.
Yes, he did. So, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of sheriffs out there that are ready and prepared to actually stand between the people and tyranny. There's a few, but they're few and far between.
Right.
I don't know if you're aware of it, but any federal agent, whether it's FBI or whoever, let's say that they are coming into a state and a county to serve a warrant on someone, they are legally bound to report to the sheriff in the county where that warrant will be served and let the sheriff know before they go.
Right.
You knew that?
Yeah, we know that the sheriff has amazing powers. He can keep the president of the U.S. out of the county.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, he is. It's amazing to me the powers of the sheriff, and yet we have people in office who have absolutely no comprehension of the absolute authority they have and the tremendous responsibility that invokes, and that they could stop a lot of this nonsense.
Yes, they could.
That's just like with Sheriff Arpaio, you know, and the job that he's doing. People keep saying, well, gee, why hasn't he done more? Well, the reason he hasn't done more is because you do need one prosecutor and one judge that's going to stand up. Because the sheriff can do so much, but then you still need that prosecutor and you still need that judge.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true to a point. As I said a few minutes ago, this is a huge picture. And our so-called criminal justice system is corrupt from top to bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with what I mean when I say admiralty law?
Oh, yeah. Neil and I are both aware of admiralty law.
Okay. Essentially, what we need, let's say that somebody in Florida had, it could be a police officer, it could be a judge, it could be a district attorney, it could be pretty much anybody that abused their rights. And that person basically wants to press charges and or demand that they resign and step down from their position of power because of it.
Right.
Well, yes, we can come and we can kind of be the enforcer, so to speak, to ensure that that happens. But if we go and we turn them over to the existing legal system, it's basically a waste of our time.
That's exactly right.
All right. What we really need, and I think the last time I looked, I think Florida is one of the states that is completely constituted in common law grand jury.
Thank you.
Are you familiar with it?
We're on it.
Okay, good. Now, I'm no expert on this by any means. However, from my understanding, that would be the legal authority that we would turn these people over to have them tried by the people.
Oh, absolutely.
Not the corrupt system in place.
That's correct.
So, like I said, there's a lot of things that go into this to really make it work properly.
Let me ask you, are you familiar with the Citizens Rule Book? It's like the size of the Constitution booklet. If not, Sherry can send you some information over on that.
I'll send you.
This thing is phenomenal.
Okay. No, I don't think I'm familiar with that.
More people need to be.
Sherry. I'm writing a note right now. Okay. Got it.
Thank you, Sherry.
Go ahead, Neil. I'm sorry. Go ahead and keep talking to him.
Okay, so anyway, this is uncommon law, and it gives you some very good examples of everything that's going on. And to me, this is something that every high school and every person in this country should be able to read. Like I said, it's, what is it, like a 3x6 or so, like the constitutional pamphlet.
Right.
But the information in there is dead on, just dead on, and it will wake people up once they see this.
Interesting.
and it's very inexpensive. I'm ordering 100 for my county, along with the common law grand jury book for sheriffs and plaintiffs and so forth.
Right.
And I'm going to be giving these to my commissioners, my sheriff, my DA, everyone that is a jurist in my area, and a county administrator. Everyone will have a book, and I plan on taking some to some churches.
Okay.
And so what we need
to do
is when we're off the air, Jerry, we need to talk with you again and share with you what's going on here, so that you can share that in your state.
Mm-hmm. He's in Pennsylvania, right?
Correct.
Yes, I'm
in Pennsylvania. They're trying to finish that off. One of our main people from Florida, is up in Pennsylvania, is going to be up there for about a month and a half, and he is trying to get Pennsylvania done.
Oh,
so Sherry
wow.
can actually give you a connection there.
Yeah, bless
him a phone call.
Bless his heart. He came all the way up here to help Pennsylvania.
He's helping.
We need every state on board. Every state on board.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
And,
send him that information.
His
phone number and his email.
But here is the key, in my opinion. The best way to get every state on board quickly is to allow other states to see that it works.
Well, we understand that.
And, you know, New York was, I think, one of the first constituted. Correct me if I'm wrong. Has anything happened up there?
Well, let's put it this way. Yes, there are things happening there. But remember, we have not flexed this muscle. It's like a memory muscle, and that we have to provide a lot of proof, and we have to be very careful of what we're doing. Remember, the enemy or the adversary is all around us, and they don't want to give up their domain. You know what I mean?
No.
And so everywhere you turn, when we're off the air, you know, which is going to be in 7 minutes, when we're off the air, if you want to hang on, Neil can give you a story that'll put the hair on the back of your neck up, and because she's really going tooth and nail. I mean, she's an amazing woman, and she's a part of history right now. So, we'll be writing stories about her soon. But
Makes me feel like I'm passed on.
Well, I know I didn't want to make it sound that way, but you know what I'm saying, Neil. We're all a part of history right now. Jerry is. Now, Jerry, that I'm talking to him, I mean, I'm taking a note because, you know, he's a part of history. He did something really incredible and amazing, and he took a stand, which is what we all need to do. So he's our current-day hero. It's just your everyday Joe that said enough's enough, and this is the step I'm going to take. And he did it. He didn't question it, did it. And this is what we need more of, people that are willing to say, you know what? If I don't stand for this, what am I going to stand for? So we applaud you, Jerry.
Yes. Well, the thing that everybody really needs to understand is that if you are a male between the age of 17 and most writings are going to say 46 or 47. You are the militia. If you are an able-bodied male between those ages, you are, by definition, militia. So, you know, it's your brother and your neighbor and your cousin. And that's what the militia is.
Right.
Just everyday, ordinary people just like you.
The unfortunate part, and hopefully, you know, with things that are developing, when people are watching YouTube and seeing this dad being arrested because he talked beyond the time in this city in New Mexico that says, you know what, this commission's lawless and we're taking over. They were upset because the local police were shooting a person a month. And it was like, wait a minute, we've had how many deaths? And they started asking the commissioners, and it got out of hand. And they said, you know what, we need to talk to the chief of police, and he ran away. But
yeah.
What I find really fascinating is that every bit of that is taken down off of YouTube. Someone sent me a message today, called me up, and said, go watch it. And I did. I clicked it on. I couldn't find it. Went to another. I've got the little two-minute and a three-minute of the media talking about it, but not the hour of the actual commission meeting. It's gone.
Right.
You got to save stuff. When you get something good, save it.
Well, you can't on YouTube, Neil. That's the thing. On YouTube, you can't. Once they take it down, it's gone. You can send a link out, but it's not the same. If they choose to tear down the link, you're done. You don't have any way to
do it. I didn't know YouTube was that way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, you can't save it.
Even if you save it as a document.
Can you save a YouTube as a doc?
I don't know. I'm not computer literate. But
yeah, I don't think you can. I can try it, but I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, when I was popping up everything, I even went to Facebook and I asked other people. I said, hey, they took this down. Is there anybody have a link that's working? And I didn't get anything back.
Okay. Yeah, they're good at wiping the slate clean.
Well, yes.
You're
and
cowards.
Neil and I both can testify to that. We've been both going on and doing research, and you'll find a link. You'll click on it, and then you'll, like, say a government website, and you click on a certain chapter in the government website, and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gone. And,
yeah, but now we got smart, and we start
saving them before they can. But once you're there, it's like, wow, you know, it's a lot of stuff's going very quickly. They're wiping it out. Erasing history.
Yes.
Now, Jerry, is there any way that we can help you or get the word out about the militia or anything? And
I mean, there's really, you know, many, many things that we can use help with. Anything from an army to help us control misinformation. And you can start by not sharing anything that hasn't been confirmed. It's pretty simple to get started.
Right.
You can know. And of course, then you could take it to the next step and try to educate your people on your friends list that, look, that hasn't been confirmed. Let's hold that until it's confirmed, you know. So that would be one thing. For people that might be interested in taking it a little farther, one of our weaknesses on this operation was we only had one person to deal with the computer dedicated. And really, we need 24-hour coverage with two computers. So we need people
One
that
minute.
Have computer skills.
Yeah, you need about 10 people.
Yep. We're down to less than a minute, guys, on the air.
Okay. Yeah, you need about 10 people to help you out with computer skills.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
People that can be dedicated to, you know, to get our alerts out and stuff. Now that's,
and they would just contact you how, Jerry?
Well, that gets a little complicated.
Uh-oh.
I'll try to explain it this way.
Really?
In other words, obviously, I can't be at my computer 24 hours a day for a week. So what I did was, I gave the Bundy Ranch my password to my Facebook account, and if they had an alert, if I wasn't at the computer, they would send me a note first, an instant message to see if I was here.
Okay.
If I didn't reply, then they had to log off of their page and on to mine to post it on my wall.
And I'm pretty sure we're off the air, right? Sally?
When you say off the air, what do you, we're off the air now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we ran past the time.
Okay.
That's
so,
all right.
So is there another hour coming yet? Is this just a break or is it over?
No, it's over.
No, this is over. This is over.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're off
the
air. But if you want to talk to Neil or anything and find out what she's doing, or if you want to leave me some information.
What am I doing that you brought it up? What are you referring to? Because I'm doing so much.
Well, no, he was talking about the common law grand jury, learning more information about it and what we're doing here in Florida.
Right. Okay, well, I don't know what they've done or what he's done or anybody he knows what they've done so far, but I filed the documents with the clerk of court and waited 10 days, of course, certified mail or signed receipt. Waited 10 days, heard nothing, so then I started emailing every single day with the reference number from the email and all, and asking for certified copies, you know, that these were filed. And I did this for 5 days, and then I started faxing besides the last 2 days with the emails. So I guess it made them nervous. I don't know. But then they sent me a letter in the mail stating that they filed them, what was it they filed them? Oh, in the miscellaneous.
Right.
But see, that doesn't make any difference. As long as they filed them, that's how stupid they are, okay?
Yeah.
So then what I'm doing now is putting some material together. I ordered the grand jury book off of the National Liberty Alliance that they have on their thing. And then I'm ordering the Citizens Rule Book that Sherry's going to send you the information on. She can actually send you, you can send him that download thing that he can actually read it if he'd like to before he...
I'll send him all of it, because all of it he can print off himself on the printer.
Right, because that thing is phenomenal. So what I'm going to do, I've decided, instead of going and arguing with my commissioners, I'm going to get with my sheriff, sit down, and have a very comfortable, casual talk with him, letting him know and asking him also questions if he realizes the power he has. Because all our sheriffs, our county commissioners control them. I don't know if you know that or not. They even have them do things where he is paid compensation out of the county treasury for.
Okay.
Now, whether that's legal or not, I don't know. I haven't looked into that. I've been too busy. But I'm going to send him, the DA, and all our county commissioners the papers that I filed, the court decision, and I'm sending them a couple of other documents showing them that common law exists. It is still on the Florida statutes. And there's another law about silence and concealment that's on the books. And I'm going to copy a couple of cases. And I'm also going to copy the 14th or 19th statewide grand jury investigation into the fraud and abuse in the state of Florida. That thing is a humdinger. So I'm going to sit down with him and go over all this and ask him if he would please take some time and read this, and I'm going to give him sufficient time and letting him know that I'll make another appointment at another date. So now I'm going to send all this information to my county commissioners, and I'm going to take the books that I want to give them and maybe one document so that I can do a fast presentation, because you're allowed 3 minutes. And I'm just going to do a follow-up on the certified mail information that I sent them and see what happens. Go from there.
Mm-hmm.
But one
okay.
thing in our state, you've got to start studying your statutes. You have to start
right.
asking questions on
yep.
the computer, and it'll give you reference. But in our state, in 1949, our Supreme Court combined the Florida Bar Association with them.
Danger, danger.
And this is a no-no because
all
the representatives and senators up there are not legally, I mean, that's a huge conflict of interest.
Right, right. Well, see, that's the first thing that we need to recognize. And,
well,
and
this 19th statewide grand jury put that in their document. They referred to that.
Yeah, well, see, that's how our legal system is run today. It's run on precedents.
Right.
And you know, most of the precedents that they're using is outside of the original intent.
That's right.
Yep.
You have to go back to original intent. If you think you're going to solve this problem working within the existing system, you're dreaming.
No, it's never going to work. That's why we're doing a common law grand jury.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I also pulled up from the Florida Historic Library in Tallahassee, the capital, two old documents. And I really read through these things because I'm looking for common law, and I did find some of it. In 1822, the first one that came up, the pages on the top were numeral, like an XX, which is 20. And I actually found the missing 13th Amendment in our state documents. I think that's pretty amazing.
That is interesting.
That's why people have got to start researching. They have got to start looking up this information. And I referred to documents. I even went to the Supreme Court Library looking for documents. And I found common law and everything in there. I've got enough on common law and with cases that we can prove it existed and it was used here in the state until our judges and our attorneys decided to get rid of it. So these are things you really need to get somebody on board to do. I mean, it's just, this research is just way too important. That's like in our state in Florida. We have the National Association of Counties. Well, the chapter to them in Florida is the Florida Association of Counties. Every county belongs to them. Then there's the National League of Cities. In Florida, the chapter is the Florida League of Cities. Then there's ICMA, the International City-County Management Association. And in Florida, they have the chapter, the FCCMA. The national chapters, every one of them, work directly with the United Nations, and they are mentioned in the 2002 Johannesburg Summit that these are the three most important components, and they named them 1, 2, and 3, to implement, it's that dated, Agenda 21 at a local level of government.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, we've got documents, and we need to demand that our commissioners, they hate to see me coming, I can tell you right now.
We've got
to demand they drop out, and they don't want to. They won't. They are so corrupt. And usually it's your county administrator that directs all of this.
Right.
So you go after him, I do. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's, and that's where, you know, you need to draw a line somewhere, and you need to be very upfront with him at some point, and you need to say, look, you are in violation of the law here. You need to do this, or we're going to look into to removing you from your position.
Yeah, but this
you
is
know.
The people have got to go to the meeting. I mean, you don't have long to speak, so just bring one document of proof. Highlight it. Please highlight it. Yellow highlight
yeah.
it. because these people can't see past the black and white thing. And just get up there and speak on that really quickly. I usually write something out. I don't need to, but I do because I can do the presentation faster if I just read it right off.
Yeah.
And then I get out what I want. But once they realize, the more they see you know and you understand, they get nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
But you got to keep it up.
Right.
So, well, anyway, Sherry's going to give you that information. We're
yes,
off the line.
I appreciate that.
The man that's up there is, his name is Hagen Smith.
Oh,
and
well,
he's
Hagen
one
Smith.
Of the...
Hagen Smith lived in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he has property. He's up there taking care of something with it
yeah.
now. But he
yeah,
wants
well,
to, while he's there, he wants to get Pennsylvania done.
Okay. Yeah, I know Hagen.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sherry's got his phone number and everything, so she can...
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure I have his current phone number.
Yeah, she's got it.
So, yeah,
and
okay.
his email, too.
Right, okay.
All right, Jerry, all I can say is God bless, and we'll have to
Thank
have you.
You
back on again because that hour sure did go fast.
Yes, it sure did. Didn't last long.
No.
So.
Well, we're praying for all of you, and
thank you. It's appreciated.
Take care. You
thank
bet.
You very much.
All right. Good night now.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
You're welcome.
Yes, I appreciate it. Have a great night. Thanks.
Thank you. God bless.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for all you're doing.
God bless you too. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye.